Okay, I'm sure everybody already knows what's happened. No, some of you don't know. Oh, have we had a great event. This morning at 9:42, Ayesha had her baby. If you don't know, praise the Lord. And it, you know, she told me just a few days ago, I said, now, Ayesha, you still think this is going to be a boy? Oh, yeah. She said, this is my sixth one, and I have carried babies, and so I know the way I'm carrying this one, it's going to be a little boy. I said, okay, so it's going to be a little boy. I said, good. So we're going to have a little boy. And she always has big babies, you know, so I don't know how much this one weighed yet. Nobody's told me. But this morning when I went in, I said, well, Dave, about 10:30, I guess it was, when I opened the door, tucked my head in, I said, have we got a baby yet? And he said, yeah, 45 minutes ago, we had a baby girl. I said, wow, a baby girl. Gee, now we got 3 and 3. Now, I don't know, since she's always had big babies, I don't know how much it weighs, but probably something under 20 pounds. Is that what it was, 9 pounds? Okay, because I know that nearly all her babies have been 9 or 10 pounds. You know, she almost always has big babies. That's why I say probably under 20. So anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, so that's the good news. We got good. Oh, you already got the mic? Okay. Cheryl's got to talk to you a minute.
Hello.
About Christ Haven and the children.
The first thing is the potluck dinner. We have 2 more Sundays is the potluck dinner, okay? So not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, y'all all need to bring a you know, some kind of favorite dish that you have. Invite your family and friends, and we're going to have it right after the church service, and, you know, the food will be in here, and we always have a lot of good food here, so be sure that you come in 2 weeks for the potluck dinner. So I only have to make that announcement one more time.
Amen.
One more time. And then... So the kids are passing that out. If you get a chance, can you help me with that? Okay. All right. The other thing is the Christ Haven. So far we've raised $26,333 in cash, gifts, and gift cards. I still have to do 30 more gift cards. I still have one more day of shopping at Kohl's to finish up some clothes. I got a couple extra kids. They told me I'm going to have 6 more before Christmas. And let's see what else they tell me. Oh, yeah. Last year, I got free 175 toys from Love for Kids. And this year, I had to fill out paperwork, and I asked for 500 toys. So we'll see how we do on that. So y'all be praying that we get an abundance on the toys. Because last year, Justin Community Closet, they don't get any new toys. And so it's the first time they ever received any new toys was when we took them there. We took part of it to Salvation Army, and then we took the other part. When I found out they didn't have any toys, I took toys there also. So we are so blessed. Why are we so blessed? Because we don't live out in our car. Because we don't live under a bridge. Because we don't live in a stinky homeless shelter. Because we're not hungry. Because our father is not molesting us, and he goes to prison, and once he goes to prison, somehow your picture gets in the paper, and they tell him where you are when you're 5 years old, and now you're 8 years old, and he's found out where you are, and for 3 to 4 months, this child can't even sleep. Her name was Cheyenne. She couldn't sleep because she kept thinking he was going to break in the windows and get her and steal her and take her and hurt her some more. So that's the kind of kids they deal with. The other little boy I told you about, Chris, I didn't even know this till the YouTube video they sent me. His dad died, then his sister died, and then his mother died, and he had nowhere to go. And he ended up at Christ Haven, and when he got there, he wanted to kill himself. And he said, but Christ Haven taught him to learn to help others. And they sent him to mechanic school, and now he went through the whole system for about 5 or 6 years there. And then he's now, you know, working and says when he gets married, he's going to adopt children, you know. And then we have another little girl. When she was in the 8th grade, she's 13, a size 22 to 24 pants. Do y'all know how big that is? That's very large. And I knew in the spirit what was happening with her. And the day that they came, the child advocacy came up to me and she said, well, you just don't know what you did for that little girl, because if they're new kids, I always try to give them more gifts. And for some reason, God blessed me. Well, we know why he did, because I pray about all this, but, and everybody else around here prays to help me. And I went to Walmart and I asked, I saw this woman bending down and I said, excuse me, do you work here? And she said, yes. And I said, oh, could you help me? And when she got up, she was a large 22-year-old girl. So I said, I need clothes for this girl. And I said, I don't know. I've never bought this big, you know, and I want something that's hip and youthful. You know, I don't want old clothes, you know. Well, she just started bringing me all kinds of clothes. And before it was all over with, I had all, you know, I had everything I needed and was so blessed. And she, so the child advocacy told me, she said, you have no idea what you did for that girl. She said, you see the clothes she's wearing? And I said, yeah. She said, those are the same clothes she's had on every day for 3 weeks. She said, everybody's afraid to go buy her clothes because she's so big. And I said, well, I felt in the spirit she was being molested. She said, oh, yeah, her mother was a druggie, and all her druggie boyfriends were molesting her ever since she was a little girl. So, see, these kids have horrible stories. You think, oh, it's a place for kids to go that, yeah, it's some place for them to go when something, you know, bad happens or they don't have somebody to take care of them. But that's not true. There's awful things happening in their life, and their stories are terrible. And so, you know, God put this on me 13 years ago because of my husband who instigated it before I was married to him. He told the church one Sunday, he said, you know, Christmas is for kids, and it is for kids. And he said, go out and do something to bless some children. He said he and Betty used to go take a child from Buckner's Orphans Home and buy them a bunch of clothes for their school year. And they were so blessed by it, you know. And that's true. These kids don't get new clothes with tags. They don't. What they get is if they get a, when they get there, they get to go down to the barely used store that Christ Haven has and get their clothes out of there. So when they list on my wish list, they'll have like Miss Me jeans or a certain Nike or Adidas, or, you know, they want to be like everybody else. That's what they want. And so I am there to give them their heart's desire, just like God promised us. He promised us our heart's desires, and they deserve it too, because they're learning about Christ. We always, when we have these events, we talk about Christ. You know, we share the love of God. We talk about everybody that's there, that how they've helped to make this happen. And, you know, the children, they appreciate it. Their hearts. And back on Cheyenne, I was moved that year for some reason. You know, I shouldn't say for some reason. I'm in, like, Bed Bath & Beyond. I see this big lamb. I mean, it was huge. A huge lamb. It's just so soft. And I said, okay, well, I don't know why I'm supposed to buy that. So I buy it. I don't know who I'm supposed to give it to. I say, Lord, who am I supposed to give it to? And he tells me to give it to Cheyenne. I didn't know this was after that. She was so excited. She just hugged that lamb. I mean, this lamb gave her so much comfort because she was in such fear. You know, the Lamb of God. You know, God knows what everybody needs. And so I'm asking for help. I still need 30 gift cards. I still need 75 Six Flags tickets. Like I said, I've just almost finished with all the clothes. And then Grace just called me, and Grace wants, we normally have given them about $25,000 worth of stuff for the teenagers. They have 2,600 children and 700 families. And then after that, I do Salvation Army. They have 3,000 children and 1,000 families. I'm not getting everybody, but I'm participating. And then Justin Community Closet, they have 2,600 people that come through twice a month. And that's our own community. So help me out if you can on your giving. If you want to give to the, just write Christmas or children on it, and bless the kids, because when you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. It's Proverbs 19:17. And he pays you back. What better deal could you have?
Absolutely. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Now then, if I hear anybody fussing about anything, I'm going to get you. You know, we get into a rut thinking that I'm not blessed. Nobody loves me.
Poor me.
Yeah, poor me. And we really don't realize how fortunate we are as sons and daughters of God. Is that right?
Yes.
We just fail to realize that when some little thing, something happens to us, you know, I mean, we can all get into this pity party thing. Every one of us, I guess we all do once in a while. But, you know, if you stop and think, and that song, you know, we've all heard that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. You know, when I start counting my blessings, I don't have to go very far Well, I'm not depressed no more, right, Mike? I have been so blessed in my life. I was sitting in my office this morning as I was studying and preparing, and I just kicked back and leaned back in my chair and put my hands behind my head and closed my eyes, but looked up at the ceiling and closed my eyes, and I said, Lord, I want to thank you that you've given me all these wonderful years that you've given me. I am healthy. I've not had to be in the hospital. I've never had a hospital stay other than one little test they done on me when I was about 40 years old. The company wanted. Other than that, I've never spent a day in a hospital. You know, I've never had any sickness. I have walked with God. I've done what he said. And I said, Lord, I am blessed. I said, I have a wonderful family, my son and his wife. I prayed for them. I want to pray for them again, that you will watch over them, protect them. I prayed for Cheryl and for her kids and everything. And I just sat there and praised and worshiped the King for everything he's blessed me with. And then I made that statement, like Cheryl said, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm sitting here in my chair in this cold outside and it's warm in my office. Like Cheryl said, in fact, she tells me this often since we've been involved in this. We may snuggle up in the bed, you know, and it may be cold outside or whatever. We snuggle up in the bed and put all the cover on us and everything. And she may be fussing. She used to do this a little. It's so cold. And I said, aren't you glad we're not sleeping under a bridge tonight? And, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. It may be a little cold in here, but, Lord, I'm glad I'm sleeping under this warm bed. And she says, Lord, thank you that I have the hottest husband in the world. I mean, he produces heat like I've never seen. All I got to do is snuggle up under him and I can stay warm. And I am warm. You know, God has blessed me with that ability to be warm. And so my cold wife, when she comes and crawls into the bed with them ice cold legs and feet and everything else for a second or two, she's cold. But I don't fuss. I say, Lord, thank you that I'm hot so I can get her warm. Get her all warmed up here so she can, you know. So, you know, it's amazing the things that we fuss about, though, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's just so amazing. We forget to name our many blessings because God has so graciously, awesomely blessed us. Now then, I've had a couple of things, but Nancy has asked me to say something to you, and I'm going to ask her to come up and come tell us what you want to tell us. Nelda, not Nancy. Nelda, yeah. Okay, yes. Nelda.
I just want to praise the Lord. I believe I called Thursday. I was having such a wonderful day and gave a praise report, and I believe I talked to Charles. Okay. I'm not sure, but anyway, I tried to let him know that the Lord has blessed me so much, and he's healing my body.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well,
tell them why you're giving the praise report.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's real hard to explain because I don't understand it. I went to the doctor. We had called out here at 5 o'clock on the 5th. And the doctor, when we couldn't reach nobody here, I had to have some relief from the pain, so I had June to take me to the emergency room. And I was at Wise Regional, and they took me back there. I thought I was having kidney stones. I was in so much pain because I'd never had one. But my husband has, and I've been with him when he's had his. And so when I got there, they took me in. And hooked me up to the IVs, and they must have given me some pain medication, and then they took me down for a PET scan, and then they took me back to the emergency
room, and I mean into the room, and when the guy came back, he brought a paper, and he handed me the paper, and she started disconnecting me and telling me that I had to go across the street to see Dr. Richardson, our family doctor, and he would explain that I have a mass, and it affects my pancreas, my kidneys, my liver, my lungs,
And I was in so much pain. I mean, you're just dumbfounded. But he handed me this paper, and this paper was my discharge paper. And I was in there maybe three more minutes or four. And they had me standing on the outside waiting for June to come back. I had sent him home because I thought I'd be there for a little while before a doctor would get to take care of me. But praise the Lord, we made it.
Yes.
And I'm going to be fine.
King. You didn't tell me what they said praise it was.
The well, they said it was cancer.
Glory to God.
They said I had cancer and that it's a mess, but they don't know. I mean, I had a CAT scan, and I'm supposed to have a PET scan Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. They postponed it because the truck broke down and I couldn't have it Friday. But I want to know what it is. I want to know what the Lord's healing me of. I know he's going to pull me totally back, because if I feel as good as I do right now, listen, I got another 10 or 15, 20 years.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I'm 72 years old.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Nelda. Okay, glory to God. Now, I told her something a while ago that I want all of you to hear. I asked her after they came out and we prayed over her. I asked her, I said, are you healed? And so today she feels good. She said, yes, I feel really good. I said, well, Nelda, I want you to know that you're not healed because you feel good. I said, I know of a case where somebody did exactly that, had basically the same thing, and they came to me, and we got rid of their sin. We got them to repent of all sin, and we prayed the prayer of faith for them, and their pain went all completely away, and for several days they felt really good. And one day they came back to see me, and I said, well, how are things going? Oh, they said, well, I know I'm healed. I said, why do you know you're healed? They said, because I feel so good. That's a wrong confession, isn't it, Jack? Well, a few days later, maybe even a day later, after this person told me they knew they were healed because they felt so good, that they called me and said, the pain has come back so excruciating, I can't stand it. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't understand how we prayed. This person got over this, it appears. They appeared to be well. They felt good and everything. So I said, there's got to be some kind of a sin. And the Lord revealed to me very clearly. When she said she was healed because she felt so good, that was sin. That was sin. I said, well, Lord, what should she have said? She said, I am healed because the Word says I am. See, that's the secret. When you know you're healed because it's written in God's Word, you can stand on that. Yeah, you can't stand on feeling, because feelings will lie to you. They will come and go. So you don't never say, I'm healed because I feel so good. Once you get rid of your sin, in fact, this last week, Jeff was talking to one of the ladies that we're dealing with over in North Carolina, with the Sid Roth Corporation and Ministries, and she was talking to Jeff, and she said, you know, we've listened to some of the testimonies on Pastor Thurman's website, and said he has some awesome testimonies. And he said, yes, we do have some awesome testimonies. She said, let me ask you a question. How many people that Thurman prays for gets healed? And Jeff said, well, I'm going to tell you the way he would answer that. All of them. She said, you mean everybody he prays for gets healed? She said, well, this is the way he would answer it. Everybody that repents of sin and believes gets healed. Is that true, Jack? That's the way it works, isn't it? Now, Jeff told her, said, there is some people that come here that do not repent of their sins or think they do, or, you know, their confession is not right. You know, they don't believe, don't stand on the Word. They're either not believing or they're believing, you know, a little bit, but not with all their heart. He said, now, those that come to us that totally believe that they are healed and that repent of their sin, he said, all of them get healed. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And so we want to get this ministry to a point where that we can, on healing school days, we can build people's faith to where they can all get this, where they can repent of their sin and believe the Word of God, and then they can walk out of here healed. And we would love to get to the point where we could see 100% of them healed. And, you know, as you, many of you in this room here, many of you, every time I ask for a show of hands, how many people here today have been healed of something, there's always a number of hands go up, because many of you here have been miraculously healed at this ministry. Many of you. And I know that God's going to continue to use us because we believe that He will do what He said. And we believe everything He said. So anyway, I want you to know that if you're working on getting healed, you really need to make sure you're spending time with God in the Word. That's the secret, spending time with the Lord in His Word and praising Him and thanking Him for your healing. And in fact, that since Jack's sitting right there, I will have to say that Jeff told Tina, the girl from Sid Roth, about your hand miracle. In fact, he told her about both your back, which you got healed almost instantly that day with your back. And then he told her another story about your hand, how we prayed, and then it didn't happen for 8 or 10 months. But you saw yourself with that tumor gone on the back of your hand all that time. And then finally one day it was gone. And so anyway, she just was blown away. And she says, Sid Roth is so looking forward to us making these teachings. They want me to do three CDs here next Tuesday and Wednesday about this before we go down there. And then when I get there on the 9th, on the 10th, they want me to do teaching from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 more CDs about this teaching. And then on the 11th, we're going to make a show about these supernatural things, and we're going to be on their show. Now, when they're going to air that show, I have no idea, but I will let you know when I get back when they plan to air it. And then I know that they air these shows over and over, you know, lots of times during the year. Now, I do know, I just found out this time, the one that we have here, we called Caitlin's Miracle, the Sid Roth Show. Many of you have given that to many people. You've watched it. It's a very good teaching, and people can really learn from that Caitlin's Miracle. But I learned from talking to Jeff that that show can never be aired again on Sid Roth, because there's a little girl on there that got miraculously healed, and I don't know what's wrong with her mother, but her mother called them and told them if they ever aired that program again, she would sue them. But yet I had an approval from her to take her pictures and have her put her on the show. And I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, and I'm going to tell it, and I don't care whoever hears this or whatever. If I'm God and I healed your little girl like I healed that little girl, like Jesus did, the little girl that was in the car with my granddaughter, if she was healed miraculously like that, and then you are going to sue somebody for showing that, I don't want to be in your category. I don't want to even be around you, because I might get struck with lightning. You know, or worse. That's right. In other words, if God said in His Word, share my glory. When I do these things for you, tell the whole world. Well, that's what we're trying to do, is it not? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to tell the world what Jesus has done for us here at this church, because the miracles that happen here, I don't do them, that's for sure. Only the Master can do it. And so, you know, I don't know, but that was really something for me to be told that that awesome show about Sid, that was on the Sid Roth Show about Caitlin's miracle, can never be aired again, because one woman said, if you ever air that again with my daughter's picture on it, I will sue you. Okay? So she comes to me one day and says, I'm going to sue you. What's she going to sue me for? Her baby is living today instead of dead. Her baby was supernaturally healed in 2.5 weeks after a doctor said that even the doctor told her, after her child was completely miraculously healed in 2.5 weeks, he said, I've been a doctor a long time. In other words, Jack, you're a doctor. If I bring a child into you that's got their pelvics completely crushed and their head split open from right here plumb back to right there, and you tell me the diagnosis is the child may not live, but if the child does live, it'll have brain damage, and then it'll be about 4 to 6 weeks minimum before the child, two and a half to 3 months before the child can even begin to start walking with a walker again. And then it's going to have to spend months with a walker learning how to walk again. And if you tell me that as a doctor, and in 2.5 weeks that child is completely healed and can run and play back in school like nothing happened, let me say, you either made a wrong diagnosis or God showed up. And the doctors knew he didn't make a wrong diagnosis. So he told this mother, this has to be God. There's no explanation for her supernatural healing other than God. Now then, how in the world can the enemy, how can the enemy get in there and deceive you that you can't talk about this? How in the world can that happen? You know what? I have told people, my granddaughter, all of you know the story about my granddaughter. I am praising God for what he done for her. I'm telling you, I am praising God for that little girl. And I praise him and thank him for the healing of Caitlin every day. But I praise him and thank him for all these wonderful things he does for all of y'all. I thank him and praise him for all the things he does for me and Cheryl. You know, I mean, we have prayed for each other for numerous things, you know, and God has healed us and done things for us. But I want him to know, Lord, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, and I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to be just like Paul. If they put me in prison, I'm still going to preach the gospel. Y'all know where I'm coming from? You can't shut me up. I'm going to preach it wherever I am. I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to teach it that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was the best thing that ever happened, and I'm going to do everything I can to walk in love. I'm going to do everything the Scripture says because I want God to bless me and my family. Don't you? Yes.
I had a dream. I felt like the Lord came to me twice this week and has touched me.
Okay.
I feel like he was touching me, and that's when I woke up. Just I was praising the Lord. June and I praise the Lord all.
Amen.
Every time we wake up and every time, and I get up a lot at night.
Amen.
I know I do. But it's been real hard to get up. But I know he touched me.
Amen.
I know he did.
I praise the Lord.
And I know that he's healing.
Just like that, huh? I touched you too, didn't I? Yeah. Is it wonderful to praise God? Is it wonderful to know Jesus? Yes, it is wonderful to know Jesus and know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and God of Gods. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. We want to thank you for this beautiful little girl that you just brought into Dave and Aisha's life. Now then, Lord, thank you for a couple that were told when they got married that they would not be able to have children or they'd all be sick like Dave was. And Lord, thank you for giving me the knowledge and wisdom to tell them that was not true. If they would stand on God's word and repent of sin and get you healed, then we can have babies with no healing. And Lord, I thank you as of today, Dave is completely healed and all six of his children are all beautifully well. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are the healing Jesus. You are the God of God and Lord of Lords. And Lord, I also want to thank you for all the good doctors we have out there, because Lord, most people don't have faith, and those people don't have faith definitely got to have a doctor. So Lord, we thank you for sending good doctors to do good things for those of us that don't know how to walk in faith. And Lord, for those of us that are learning how to walk in faith, we ask you to increase our knowledge and wisdom so we might walk even in a greater faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in faith, don't you? I want to be able to see God do awesome things. Okay, I want to start today with where we left off last week with this one verse, 1 Corinthians 16:22. I want to start out with that scripture, 1 Corinthians 16. We were talking about the coming of Jesus and some of the things that's going to happen. And look what this says. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Now then, do you know anybody don't love Jesus? A lot of them, right? So are they cursed? Yeah, sure they are. I mean, the Word of God says they are. So, you know, if you try to tell someone that they're cursed, that don't even know what curses are, they don't believe you. I don't believe in that, you know, but it don't make a difference whether you believe it or not. You know, it's real because God put it in this book, right? So anyone that does not love Jesus is cursed. Now, I don't know about you, but I had much rather love Jesus and be blessed. Hadn't you? Yes, I want to do that, and I want to be blessed. And I want to go to Proverbs 19:23, King James Bible. King James Bible, Proverbs 19:23, and I want to see what this says. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Do you want to go through life satisfied? Yeah. You know, I hear people all the time say, you know, ain't nothing can satisfy me. You know, I tried to make money. I thought if I could make $1 million, I'd be satisfied. And then I found out I needed another $500,000 to go with it. And then I made another $500,000, and I'm still not happy. And now I've made $10 million, and I'm just miserable. So it's not money that satisfies you, is it? No. He says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. In other words, what does it mean to fear the Lord? In other words, just think. If you have no fear of God, chances are that you go out and you do whatever you want to do because there's no fear. I mean, you know, we read some of these crazy things that's written in this book, and none of them could be true, really. You know, that's what some people say. You know, this book couldn't be true. But, you know, the Lord says if you don't have fear of God, you go out and do what's wrong, and then he says you will be classified as the wicked, and then you'll wonder why you get sick. You'll wonder why you'll die. Because sickness will come upon you if you don't obey God. I've seen it over and over and over. Over and over and over, I have seen this. You know, if you're a husband and you're not loving your wife like Christ loved the church, I guarantee there was some kind of something going to come upon you. And you won't like it. You know, and I can assure you, it'll always be on your left-hand side. That's just things we've learned. Now, if you're a woman and you don't submit to your husband, I guarantee your life's going to be miserable. You're going to have all kinds of demons in your house, you know, because you don't submit to the Lord. You're living in rebellion, and where there's rebellion, there's every form of evil, the Word of God says. Do you want to live in a house where there's every form of evil? No, I don't either. I don't either. So it says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. So if there's a cosmic battle going on, like you hear, between God and the devil, and I've heard this so many times in my life. When I first started studying about demons, I started asking questions about demons, and I found out many people knew anything about demons. And so, I mean, I asked all kinds of people about demons. It seemed to be nobody knew where they come from or whatever. They give me some experience examples. Finally, I just went to the Lord. Now, you know, I should have done that first. I should have went to the Lord and said, Lord, where does demons come from? And he would have begun to reveal it to me. But when I finally did begin to ask him, where does demons come from? It was very clear. I made them. I done it. I made them. I said, now, God, wait a minute. You know, I don't understand this. You know, if the devil is such a critter here and he's so mean and he's doing so many bad things, if you really are God and you're as powerful as you say you are, why don't you just snap your finger and make them all disappear? Wouldn't that be the way to get rid of them? Oh, he says, I use them for my glory. I made them. You know, that's kind of like I was telling somebody the other day. I said, the first time I had an experience with a woman that had a demon in her, and a Baptist preacher asked me to come to Fort Worth to minister to her on Sunday afternoon, I went down there, and this woman had back trouble. She had already had a full hysterectomy and all kinds of things, but nothing would get rid of her back pain. Finally, her Baptist preacher told me, he said, Thurman, would you come and minister to this woman? She was a Spanish woman, had real heavy, thick black hair. And he said, I believe her problem's spiritual. Well, see, I have now learned that all sickness and disease starts in the spirit realm. I mean, nothing without something being broken in the spirit world comes upon us. And so I went down there, and when I went down there and met with this people, this woman, she didn't want to talk to me, not at all. Well, then I finally went in another room, got her and brought her out there and set her down, and I knelt down in front of her, and I said, ma'am, what you need is Jesus. And man, she just jumped all over me. No, I don't want nothing to do with him. I said, ma'am, you just got a demon. I said, I'm going to command this demon to come out of you, and he's going to come out of you. I was barely getting started in my demonic studies. I didn't know much about the devil. I surely didn't know the truth. So anyway, when I said, come out of her, you devil of hell. Now, I mean, as a Baptist deacon, I was really stepping out in faith. You can understand that, right, brother? Really stepping out there when I commanded that devil to come out of her. And I mean to tell you, that demon manifested in her, and he spoke out of her mouth and said, we're not coming out. We have legal right to be here. I said, you're lying. I said, you're a liar. I know the devil is the father of lies, so I know you're lying. You do not have legal right there. I said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out. He said, we're not coming out. We have legal right to be here. I said, okay, it's time to pray. I said, Lord, I'm silent. I'm just looking. I'm praying to myself. I said, Lord, this demon is lying to me. He's telling me he has legal right and he ain't coming out. So what am I doing wrong? And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, he's there because I sent him. Now, for a Baptist deacon that had no training whatsoever in demons, and you hear a voice that tells me I sent him there, now that goes against everything I'd ever heard about demons, that God would send one. I said, Lord, I can't believe that you sent that. I said, I thought that's got to be the devil talking to me, not God. I said, Lord, what is the deal here? He said, son, didn't you read Matthew 18, 21 through 35? I said, yes, Lord, I've read that many a time. He said, well, then if you'd have believed it, you would have known there that if she has unforgiveness in her heart toward anybody, I'm going to send a tormenting spirit. And I began to research those scriptures in my brain. I said, my lands, that's what that said. That's what that said. You will send a tormenting spirit to torment this person. I said, God, you mean the scripture really means what it says? Because obviously we don't read it like that. I mean, we read it, but we don't think it means what it says, right? I mean, it couldn't be. So I looked at it, I said, Lord, she's got unforgiveness towards somebody. I said, ma'am, do you have unforgiveness towards somebody? And her husband sitting there, he says, oh, yeah, does she ever? Said, you see those four boys there? I said, yeah. He said, those two oldest ones are hers, and this other man, the two younger ones are mine and hers. But he says, she got an unforgiveness against him. He left her in the hospital with no help or nothing, and she has hated him with a passion all these years. I said, ma'am, you got to forgive this guy. And she said, I ain't never going to forgive him for what he done to me. I said, ma'am, he's ruined your whole life up to now. I mean, he's ruined it. I mean, I said, here you are with this pain. You've already had a hysterectomy. You've gone through all this surgery, and your back pain is still there. It didn't go away. How many of you know you can't cut out a demon? You know, they don't cut out. I mean, you can cut all kinds of skin and flesh, but you can't cut out a demon. And so this woman, as we were there, I finally told her, I said, well, you've got to repent, and you've got to forgive this man. And so I said, ma'am, I'll just use the word Joanne. I said, Joanne, I want you to repeat after me. I, Joanne, forgive Bob Joe Jones from my heart. And I said, now that she did that. And as she did that, I said, now then, do you mean that? She said, yes, I forgive him. I said, okay, good. I looked at her and I said, now you devil of hell, you have heard her say that she has repented of her sin of unforgiveness. Now you have no legal claim to her. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her and leave. And bam, just like that, she slung her head up and she looked at me and smiled. And this woman was completely set free. And she says, you know, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. And I led that woman into the kingdom of God and got her gloriously saved right there. Got her delivered and all of her pain went away and everything. Now look what the scripture says. Now the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now that was a real revelation for me that God sent a demon, a tormenting spirit, to torment this woman because of her sin. I begin to understand why so many of us got problems now. If God will send a tormenting spirit to torment you, Every time you get into some kind of bitterness or unforgiveness or whatever with someone, when you get into sin, if God sends a tormenting spirit to torment you, how many of you think you're going to be able to enjoy life with a tormenting spirit living inside of you? It ain't going to be no fun at all. But see, God is no respecter of persons. It makes no difference who you are, what color you are, how big you are, whether you're little, tall, skinny, fat. It doesn't make no difference with God. You know, in the spirit world, you have to obey His word. And if you don't obey His word, then He sends a tormenting spirit. You know, I don't think a whole lot of the church understands this principle. I really don't think we really understand what this means. But if I fear the Lord and walk in, if I fear Him, am I going to obey His rules? Absolutely. Yes, I'm going to obey His rules. And then He says, if I do that, that's I'm going to be satisfied with my whole life. Everything's going to be good. And He says, you will never be visited with evil. Can you imagine how much fun it would be every morning if I had to get up and I had a demon, new demon in my life every day? Can you imagine how miserable my life would be? Mike, it wouldn't be no fun at all, would it? But if I'm walking in obedience to His word, how many demons is He going to send to me? Hey, I like that, don't you? I like it. But is that what the Lord says there? He says, if the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. In other words, I'm going to have a great life. I'm going to be satisfied. I mean, there's no problem. So I got a 2002 Ford Ranger pickup, and I'm perfectly satisfied with that little pickup. I don't have to have a $40,000 pickup to ride around in. That little $5,000 one gets me around just as good as a big one. Now, if you want to spend your money on a big one, that's okay. But I'm going to keep my money in the bank, so I might have something to eat someday, you know, or something. But I'm satisfied. I don't have to have something. You know, if you're never satisfied with what you have, you need to really check out and see what you're doing with your money. You know, don't spend your money, all you've got. Don't go into debt. Be careful. I know you got to have a house, and I know that almost nobody that I know has enough money to pay cash for a house. So if you buy a house you can afford and then make payments on it, that's okay. But, you know, don't buy a new house and then go out and buy a new Lexus. If you got to have a new car, a Lexus is pretty expensive. If you need transportation, you can buy a really nice little car for under $20,000. Do you know that? Yeah, you can buy a really nice little car that'll haul four people or five people, and you can go and they'll get good gas mileage and everything, and get a brand new one. But yet, if you were to buy a new Lexus for $70,000 or $80,000 or $90,000 or whatever, you might say, well, look at me, I'm driving a new Lexus. But look at me, I'm broke too, see? So I don't want to be broke. I'd rather have a little money, hadn't you? I don't have to have that. Now, if I've got all the money in the world, it's okay. If I want to drive a Lexus or if I want to put two of them in a garage, that's okay. If I got money, you know, and I'm not putting anybody into buying, you know, it's okay to have things if you can afford it. But try not to get into a place where you can't afford it. Okay, now then let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 18. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be visited with the devil, do you? But the Lord promised me I won't have to be if I obey Him, right? Okay, so if I obey Him, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and let's verses 1 through 18, and let's go through this. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that you have received of us how we ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. How we ought to walk. Well, I wonder what that means. How we ought to walk. I mean, as a Christian, if I'm supposed to walk some way, I'm supposed to walk how? I mean, can I just do anything I want to do? Well, I don't know what we can do here. Let's go ahead to the next verse. Let's see what he has to say. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Okay, so if I've been in the book, studying the book, obviously there is some commandments in here that I'm supposed to follow. Is that right? Okay, so if I'm supposed to follow these, maybe he'll give us an example or a clue here in a minute, because right now he hadn't told us. Just supposed to lead a good life. Verse 3, let's see what he says there. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that we should abstain from fornication. Uh-oh, there's one thing to start off with. Have you noticed that it makes no difference what scripture, what book we read in, almost one of the first things it tells us to abstain from is sex. Is that right? Isn't that something? Now, of course, that's not talking about sex if you're married. You know, if you're married and you got a wife or a husband or whatever, there ain't nothing wrong with sex, because God made that, and it's a totally okay with sex with your mate. Is that right? Yeah, it's just that when you're having sex with somebody else's mate or whatever, then it ain't okay, because that's fornication. So, yeah, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now then, well, let's see what else he says about this. We know what that we're not. Did you know that it's amazing the number of people? In fact, I watched on the news last night about this man that had died, and how that he had 3 or 4 children, and they were by different women, and now that he's living with another one, and how that he died, and everybody's upset because this man died. But this man, if you don't know the principles of the kingdom, you'll never pick up on this. But if you see a man on the news and he died and he left 2 or 3 children, and he's had 2 or 3 women and not been married to none of them, and you wonder why he died at 40 years old. I can tell you why. He's been judged of God. You know that? He's been judged of God. You ain't supposed to die at 40. You know, and that's kind of like the other day. I think I shared with y'all last week about last weekend. I was watching the news, and there was a couple on Channel 4 that had twins. They were premature. One of them had already died, and the other one was fighting for its life. And I just asked the question, Lord, what sin did they commit that caused you to kill those 2 children? Now, that's a revelation most people don't have either. Most people don't believe God is the one that takes life, but He is. And when you realize there's only one on this earth you've got to make happy, and who is that? God. That's exactly right, brother. There's only one you've got to make happy. If you make God happy, then He has all power over you and over the devil and everything else. Is that right? Yeah, guarantee. So anyway, after they're saying, well, this second one is fighting for its life and it may not make it, and then the commentator said, you know, this couple is thinking about getting married. You're thinking about getting married and you just had twins? There's something wrong with this picture. Is that right? Something grossly wrong with this picture. When he said, a while ago, he said, we're to have no fornication. Is that what he said? We're to abstain from fornication. You know what it means to have no sex until you get married? That means no sex till you get married. I don't understand how we don't understand that, but we don't know. We do not know. We have no fear of God. That's what's wrong with us in the church. Many of us have done these kind of things and we have no fear of God. And then we don't know what happens whenever He judges us. Okay, let's go to the next verse. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What is your vessel? From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that's your vessel. That's what you live in, right, brother? When you live in this vessel, that every one of us should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We need to know how to walk with God. Verse 5, see what that says. Not in the lust of, I can't even say that word, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Not in the lust of conspicuous, whatever. Well, that, you can say, I can't say well, what a word. Okay, verse 6, we'll go on. I can't say that. That no man may go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of how many? So what do you get away with when you commit sex out of wedlock? What do you get away with? Who's the avenger? Wow. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. I don't know why I don't know what we're not doing, but something is wrong with this department right here in the church. I'm talking about us pastors. There's something wrong with us. If we don't, it may be okay to be a motivational speaker, but once in a while, you've got to teach people that sin is wrong. Is that right? Because if you don't teach them sin's wrong, all you do is talk about motivational stuff all the time. If all I did was talk to you about how good God is, and He is good. Now, don't get me wrong, about how good He is, how He wants to bless us and all this stuff. And if all we ever did was just pray for people and God heal them, and everybody got healed. Didn't make any difference what we prayed for, whenever we prayed, if we didn't remit sin or nothing, and everybody I prayed for got healed, you know how long most of you would stay healed? Some of you only a matter of hours. Yeah, to the door. That's right, because you'd be right back in that sin, right? Sure, people would be right back in the sin. That's why I try my best to teach you how to repent of your sins, how to stand on God's word, and then when you get healed, 5 or 6 or 7 years later, you're back still healed, right? Or the tumor on your hand, although it might have took 8 or 10 months to go away, it's still gone, right, Jack? So when we stand on His word, Jesus, just like He said, how many did Psalms 103, verses 3 and 4, He says, "Forget not all the Lord's benefits." Who forgives how many of our sins, Bill? All. And He heals how many of our diseases? All. Did you notice something there in the order of that? He forgives how many of our iniquities? And then He heals how many of our diseases? All. So what if we come to Him and just ask Him to forgive 4 or 5 sins, but we got 20? Now then, the 5 that we ask Him to forgive, did He forgive those? Yeah, if we repented and we told Him, "Okay, God, I'm sorry." And that's kind of like a gentleman that came here the other day to a healing school. He said, "I was here last month to a healing school," and said, "I heard about your ministry," and said, "I have lost my job because I have fibromyalgia so bad I can't even work anymore." So we found his sin, got him to repent of his sin. I laid hands on him, prayed for him. The next month, that's all he asked me to pray for was his fibromyalgia. The next month he come back and said, "Praise God. After I repented of sin and you prayed the prayer of faith for me, I was completely healed of fibromyalgia. I can do anything I want to do." So he said, "I got a couple of other things I want you to pray for now." But see, he didn't even think about those, but the one that was holding him back from working, that was the important one to him. But he never dreamed. Once he repented of sin, we could have not only asked him to forgive all of our iniquities, which we did, and I believe we got them all done, but we only asked him to heal his fibromyalgia. That's why a lot of the time when I pray for you, since I've learned this, I ask the Lord, "Lord, once we get all the sins confessed, I ask you to forgive them, and I ask you to do a Jesus overhaul on them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet." Is that right, Betty? Because if I don't, and I don't know what's wrong with you, but Jesus knows what, right? And so since Jesus knows everything and He's a faith God, if I say, "Lord, just heal his fibromyalgia," and He said, "Okay," and He did. And the guy was almost instantly healed of fibromyalgia. It's amazing how He loved that. But now he had a couple of other things, whereas if he had really known the scriptures better, he could have said, "Pastor, I've got these 5 things wrong with me. And one of them, the worst one, is fibromyalgia. I want to repent of all of my sins. Now I want to be healed of all of my diseases." And could he have been healed of everything? Yes. But God doesn't just step out and do it for you until you ask in faith. If God could heal us without somebody asking, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. When you got sick, he'd just heal you. When you committed a sin, he'd just forgive you. But he don't work like that. When you commit a sin, what do you have to do to get rid of that sin? Confess it and repent, right? Yes. If you confess that sin, "Lord, I'm sorry I done this. So I've not been too good to my wife this morning. So Lord, please forgive me." And will he forgive me? Yes, he will. Every time. That's the beautiful part. Now then, if I'd already gotten hurt, you know, I'd already hurt myself or cut myself or whatever, and all of a sudden I got an issue with my left hand because I got into bitterness with my wife, and I've already gone a day or two and I already cut my hand open, and now then I've repented. Now, is there going to be a consequence? Yeah, how long might it normally take for a hand that's tore to pieces to heal up, Jack?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. So if it heals up totally, completely, in 2 weeks I got favor from God, right? Okay, so you see what I mean? But most of us don't even put that together. Okay, praise the Lord.
Takes a lot longer.
Well, he done a good job on mine, I'll say that. Wow. No man defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, actually sexual sins, is what he's talking about, as we also have forewarned you and testified. In other words, here's what I'm, this is my job from that scripture. My job is to tell you, as a son or daughter of God, to absolutely not get into any kind of fornication. Is that right? That's my job as a pastor, to tell you, you are to walk holy before the Lord. You're not to defraud your brother or sister in no way with any kind of sexual immorality. You are to control your vessel. You're to have no sex with nobody except the one you're married to. Is that my job? Yes. Now then, what's your job? To obey. To do what God says and to obey. Now then, if you do not, this is what I'm going to tell you, that according to that scripture, if you do not obey God, he's going to judge you. Is that right? Is that what he said? Well, Thurman, you know that this is the age of grace. You know God would never judge me. He loves me. Do we hear that? Yes, we hear that all the time. God would never, he would never judge me. I mean, just because I sleep around with five or six different women that I'm not married to, God don't have a problem with that. Oh, you think he does, huh? I think he does too. No, I take that back, Betty. I don't think he does. You and me both. We know he has a problem with that, right? Because he told us too many times in his word, did he not? So if I tell you not to do this, and you go out and do this thinking, well, I think Thurman's crazy. I don't think God's going to judge me. God loves me. So you go out and sleep around with somebody else's wife, or just one time, and you've known this now. You've been to this church and I've told you, and you go out and mess around, do something. Are you in trouble, Bill?
Worse than if you hadn't heard it.
That's right. A whole lot worse. That's absolutely right. Or if you hadn't heard it, he might be a little bit more merciful, right?
I think he is.
Yeah, I know he is, yeah. But if we have heard this and this scripture, we've read this and we know this, and then we go out and do some kind of sin, man, get ready to get hurt. Is that right?
Much is given, much is required.
That's right. Much is given, much is required. Wow. But you know, how many of you know that sex is not the only sin? We all know that, right? There is other things that sin because besides of sex. I mean, and probably those, we don't even think about some of the things that we do as being sin. You know, like your husband does something you don't like and you just kind of read him the riot act and you get into a little bitterness. That's my job. I'm his wife. I can do that if I want to. No, that's not true. You know, that's not true. You know, yeah, you can do it if you want to, but you get ready to get your hand slapped too. You know that? You know, you don't want to go there. You want to walk in love with the Lord, because it said, the Lord is the avenger of all such. And we're already going to forewarn you that this is the case. The Lord, he didn't, in this case, he didn't say how he's going to do it. He didn't say whether he's going to come himself and hurt you. Somebody said, God would never hurt me. Okay, maybe he won't, but if he won't, he'll sure send the devil, won't he? And if he don't hurt you, can a devil hurt you? Oh, yeah. And if God sends a devil to torment you, and do you know that that's why we have so many people in the church that's so sick and so afflicted? And do you know, like, God is reaching out there saying, my son or my daughter, I'm pulling you back in with this pain and suffering to get your attention. He's not sending that to kill you. He's sending that to bring you back home. Do you know that there's only one thing I hate in this life worse than pain? And you know what that is? That's right. More pain. I don't like pain. You don't like it either, do you? If there's ever anything that God made that'll get mine and your attention, it's when He puts the clamps of pain on us, right? I mean, when He puts that pain on you, He can get your attention, and He will do that. Now, unfortunately, many people in the church don't believe God will do these kind of things, even though it's right here in the book. It's written, isn't it, brother? God will judge us, and He will avenge all such acts, all of them. So let's go on to the next verse, there's verse 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. You see, the uncleanliness, what kind of sin were we talking about in that last verse? Sex. What does God call that? Uncleanliness. Being unclean. So now then, if you're having sex with your mate, that's not unclean. But if you're having sex with somebody that's not your mate, then it's unclean. And it will bring all kinds of sickness and disease upon you. And this is the thing that I've had a few of these cases in my life, how that a man and a woman come to me, and this woman was married to this man, and this couple over here was married, and this couple was married, and neither one of them has never committed adultery on the other one. Never. They've never had it. I mean, in fact, both of them were virgins when they got married. I thought that was so amazing. And somehow this man and this woman was able to get together, somehow. Somehow in being friends with each other, they got too friendly and they wound up in bed together. Now, neither one of them has ever been with anybody else besides their mate. And this couple that had sex, both of them came down with a very serious venereal disease. Now, if neither one of them had ever had sex with another person other than their mate, and they had never had sex with nobody in their life except their mate, and now then this man and this woman get together in unholy uncleanliness and have sex, and they both come up with an unclean venereal disease. Now, you explain that to me as a doctor. Does that make any sense? No. But I saw this, Jack. I've seen this a couple of times, and it's so amazing that, in fact, I have a lady in my church that I had before that told me that she was married to a man that was unfaithful to her, and she didn't know it for a long time until she found out he had a very serious contagious venereal disease. Now, she said, he and I were having sex as man and wife, and I never caught it. She said he caught it because he was messing around with some other woman or some other women. And when I found out about it and found out he had it, she said, I immediately divorced him. And she said, I never came down with that disease. Yet he had a very contagious disease that she had sex with him while she was married to him, but she never caught it. And she said, I just didn't understand it. And she didn't come to me and tell me about this. She said, I was teaching on this one day, and I told her, I said, I've seen this happen. And I said, as long as you're not under the curse, she hadn't done anything wrong. So since she was not under the curse, that demon that was in him could not attach itself to her. And she never caught it. Now, is that awesome? Now, there's a case where that two people had never had sex out of wedlock. They come together, and they both come down with a very contagious disease. Here's a woman that's faithful to her husband. He's not faithful. He has a very contagious disease. He's going into her on a regular basis with a contagious disease, but yet she never catches it. Never. She never did catch it. When I told her, when she came to me after the service, she said, I've always wondered why I never came down with that. I said, because you were not disobedient. You were not visited with evil. Did the Lord say that if you obey Him and tender to fear Him, you will not ever be visited with evil? So you see, it's not being around people that are contagious with something that makes a difference. It's being around somebody that's contagious, and when you got an open door, open to sin. And if you got that door open to sin, then that devil can come right in and say, oh, let me get him. He's legal ground. I can touch him because he's living in sin. But the Lord promised you that it could not happen. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now, if we walk holy before God, can any kind of evil touch us? No, not at all. It can't touch us. You're immune to those things. It cannot touch you. And I love to live there, don't you? Don't you love living in a place where God says, oh, that's my son over there. He's a good boy. Pat him right on the leg. Say, you're a good boy. I love you. You're keeping my word. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, and we don't have to worry about it. We won't never be sick. Now then, verse 8. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Do y'all know that the Holy Spirit is only given to those that obey? Do you know that? The Holy Spirit and his power is only given to those that obey God's word. Now, when you accept Jesus as your Lord in life, Lord of your life, you get the Holy Spirit, but you don't get the power that goes with it. You only get the Holy Spirit, not his power. I don't know about you, but I want his power. Don't you, brother? When I lay hands on somebody and pray for them, I want to see God do something great, don't you? Amen. That's what I want to see. So if you ask the Lord to, if you're walking in obedience to his word and you ask him to fill you with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, he will do it. And he will put that power upon you, and you will have a desire within you now to win the lost to Christ. You'll have a desire to lay hands on the sick. I mean, you'll have a desire to do something for the kingdom of God. And I love that, don't you? I love seeing God do these wonderful things. Verse 9. But as touching... In brotherly love, we need not that you write unto you, but as touching brotherly love. You really think we don't need no instructions on that? Do we know how to walk in love? Do we know what that is? But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now then, what if you don't read his word? What's wrong now, Mike? If you ain't reading his word, you can't be taught by the Holy Spirit, can you? Now, if you're in the book every day, yeah, he'll teach you, right? He will teach you. But I wouldn't even want to ask the question. Now, I'm going to ask the question, but don't hold up your hand. Need nobody. I don't want to see no hands. Think about this. If I ask this question, now, like I say, do not hold up your hand. How many of you spend at least 1 hour a day in God's Word? I don't want to see no hands because I don't want to intimidate nobody. There's very few people spend an hour a day in God's Word. Is that right, Steve? Yeah, I mean, Steve studied the Word. I mean, that guy, he studies it all the time. If I were to ask how many people spend an hour a day in God's Word, and if I said, hold your hands up, I know his hand would go up. He's always in the Word. He studies God's word and talks about it over and over and over and over. I mean, he's on fire for Jesus. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. If we get in the book, I guarantee God will teach you how to love one another. You know that, don't you? He'll teach you how to do that. Verse 10. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So do we need to read just a little bit once in a while? You need to read every day, don't we? We need to continually put God's word in our heart and let the Spirit teach us how to walk in love. If you spend an hour or two a day in God's Word, I can guarantee you he will make a new person out of you. It cannot fail. Is that right? Yeah, it cannot fail. But if you're not in the Word, And here's the thing. If you don't know these promises, and God's a faith God, how are you going to receive something by faith that you don't even know belongs to you? Think about that. If you don't know that salvation is yours, you don't know his healing is yours, you don't know that power and authority over the devil is yours, if you don't know any of those things, in fact, I got to tell you a little story. One of my daughters, all these girls around here, I call them my daughters. Y'all know that, right? I got more daughters than any man in the town. All these pretty daughters of mine, I love them all. But one of my daughters, her daughter, this last week was at home, and she's about 16 years old. The daughter is. And she told me something about her mobile home that the door lock wasn't working right. So I called Ben, and I said, Ben, would you come by this house, this mobile home, and check to see what's wrong with the door? It's not, key's not working right. So I said, come by there. Okay, Pastor, I'll come by on the way to work in the morning. And I said, okay. So he come by, and he walked up to the door. It was cold that morning, everything. And Ben's already got a big, heavy beard, and he has a hood on. He's got all his head covered up, and he's about this much of his face showing. And he kneels down at the door, and he's working right there at the door. He's got a little can of stuff to spray in that, and he's just fixing to spray that in there. And this daughter of mine calls her daughter and says, honey, would you open the door for me? Unlock the door and let me in. Well, she's right up the road, and so she goes up and turns the lock and pulls the door open, and there's Ben sitting there like this, fixing to shoot something. What do you think that girl did, Betty? They screamed, absolutely screamed. I mean, she screamed to the top of her lungs and slammed that door back closed. I mean, like that. Didn't know. And all of a sudden, she thought, oh, my gosh, that was Ben. So she opened the door back. There was Ben. He's still sitting there dumbfounded. He didn't even know what happened. I told her, I said, your mother used to be the same way. I said, I could walk through here when your mother would be over here working, mailing stuff out or something. I could walk by and I could just reach over and just tap her in the back a little like that. Ah! You know, like this. And she said, what'd you do that for? I said, I'm going to make a faith woman out of you or kill you one. I said, you know, the Lord tells us that even the devil comes as a roaring lion. Is that what he says? If the devil comes as a roaring lion, you need to be ready so that even if he comes right up and puts his snoot right in your face, you know you're a daughter of the king. And you ain't afraid, right? That's where we need to get. I said, so I'm going to train you so that even if the devil comes in here and comes around this corner and you look up and he's growling, rah, and doing it, you're going to just say, devil, I have authority over you. Get out in the name of Jesus. Now, see, that's the power we're supposed to have. We're not supposed to run. We're supposed to rebuke the devil. We're supposed to submit ourselves to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Is that right? So I've got her mother just about where I want her now. I almost can touch her or do anything. She hardly ever jumps or anything anymore. So when this happened to her daughter, I said, uh-oh, I got another one to work on. I said, I'm going to make your daughter just like you. But, you know, it took some work. You know, it takes some work. You know, little girls especially, if somebody touches them or whatever, but just think. How many of y'all in here have ever listened to Margie Mayfield's testimony? Isn't that an awesome testimony? Now then, that little girl, if she hadn't have been trained, you know which book of the Bible she had committed to memory?
Ephesians,
that's exactly right, the book of Ephesians. Now just think, this little girl had the Word of God, the book of Ephesians, committed to memory. And there was a guy, the number one rapist and murderer in America, number one. And she was in San Antonio, I believe it's San Antonio, shopping. And she will go out to get in her car. And when she gets in her car or starts to get in her car, a man sticks a gun in her side and says, get in that car and sit down and don't say a word or I'm going to blow you away. Some women would just faint. She got in and scooted across there and sat down. And he said, now, woman, put your hands under your thighs and don't say a word. And she took her hand, put it on his shoulder and said, mister, you're not in control here. I am in the name of Jesus.
Praise the
Now, do you think that girl knew who she was in Christ? What do you think? I mean, you're in the car with, you don't know this is the number one murderous rapers in America, but you know he's got a gun in your back, and you know he's telling you that don't you do anything or I'm going to kill you. And for her to have the audacity to take her hand and not put him under here and say, oh, yes, I'll do anything, don't hurt me. No, instead of that, she just put her hand up here on his shoulder and said, you're not in charge here, mister. I am, in the name of Jesus. You think that woman knew who she was in Christ? And do you know now, folks, this is, I won't go into great detail with this story because we've got it here. You can listen to it if you haven't ever listened to it. You can listen to the whole thing. Before the day was over, that woman led that man to Christ and got him to turn himself in. All because she had the book of Ephesians committed to memory. She was a daughter of the King, and she knew she was a daughter of the King. And so she had no fear. Now then, I would not want you to raise your hand, but how many of you girls think you got that kind of faith? Very few. You see where I'm coming from? What kind of faith, ma'am, if you'd have been that woman, what kind of faith would it have taken?
Being from Louisiana, he might have been scared.
Right? That girl's got some faith right there, I guarantee you. She's got some faith. But to think, we all have that kind of authority. And if we know we have that kind of authority and we overcome the enemy with it is written. Now then, when she learned who he was, she had to not go into fear. When they stopped at a place to get a newspaper or something, when she saw there this on the front page, she turned away. I don't want to read that because she began to sense that this guy that they're talking about in the newspaper is who she's got by her side. And she don't want, because if she realizes he's the number one rapist and murderer in America, she realizes she's fixing to get into fear. When she gets into fear, nothing works. As long as she's in faith, it works. Now, if y'all, do we have that out here, honey? Don't we have that testimony back here? Yeah, Margie Mayfield. Yeah, on the glass table. If you have never listened to Margie Mayfield's testimony about how that happened, it is an inspiring testimony. It was done by Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dodson, and we have a copy of it back here, and we give them away. And in fact, I called them years ago when I got the copy. I said, I'm in ministry, and this is an awesome testimony. Can I make copies of this and give it away? And they said, yes, you can make copies for your church as long as you give them away. You can't sell them. I said, don't worry. I said, I support Focus on the Family anyway. And I said, but I definitely will not sell it. I said, I don't sell anything. I give everything away. Now, anyway, so praise God. That's okay, verse 11. And that you study. That can't be right. What's that say, Scott?
To be quiet.
Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Is that what that really says? Do you know there's been a few times in my life if I'd have known that, I'd have kept myself out of trouble. Instead of doing something I shouldn't have done, I'd have been quiet, kept my mouth shut, I'd have been a whole lot better off. But this thing, that's what the Lord says here. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. In other words, somebody says, keep your nose out of my business. That's kind of what they're trying to say, isn't it? And to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now then, if we really would learn how to be quiet. Now, I know that some of us, both male and female, if your husband or your wife makes a statement and you don't agree with it, some of us can really get upset. Do y'all know that? Some of us can really get upset. Are we supposed to? No, we're not. We're supposed to control ourselves, supposed to contain ourselves. We're supposed to study to learn how to be quiet. I remember that only happened to me and Cheryl one time, and we were coming home from church, and I told her something I had done, and she didn't like it at all. And I'm telling you, this girl, I had never heard her shout at me until this day, but she was upset with me. And every time I would even attend to open my mouth, she would get louder and she got madder. And so I finally decided, okay, Lord, I've studied this about how to be quiet. Now I guess I need to practice it. So I ain't going to say another word. So I quit talking. And we come all the way home, and she got so upset with me, and she's going back there, she's even talking to the Lord about me. She said, "Lord, this man that you gave me, what am I supposed to do with him?" And the Lord spoke to her audibly and said, "Cheryl, just love him." So she come back up there in a minute. She said, "Honey, will you please forgive me?" I said, "Of course." I said, "What happened?" She said, "I was so angry with you." I said, "Yes, I know." And I observed that. And she says, "Well, I was a little upset." So she said, I asked the Lord, and she wasn't very nice to the Lord. "Lord, what am I supposed to do with this man you gave me?" He said, "Just love him." So she said, "Honey, forgive me, and I promise I'll just love you." And she grabbed me and hugged me and was gentle and peaceful and quiet. And while I'm holding her in my arms, I looked up and I said, "Lord, thank you. I sure did need that help." Y'all understand where I'm coming from?
And he gave you more help. He gave you a red-headed wife.
Yes, I'm telling you, he did, Bill. He gave me a red-headed wife, and she's a ball of fire sometimes, too. She's a good girl. But you know, can we all have, every one of us have gotten to that point in our life, have we not? Now then, if you tell me you've never got upset with your mate, I'm going to tell you, if you've been married more than 30 minutes, you're lying. Everybody has troubles with their mate, do you not? I bet you and Betty have even had at least one, oh, maybe half. Oh, goodness gracious. But the Lord told us to study to be quiet and do your own business. Verse 12. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Now, if we do it God's way and obey Him, how much lack are we going to have? None. Don't you like that? I like to have all my needs met, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, who is this that has no hope? This is the people that don't believe in Jesus, right? Now just think, if you have a loved one, you have a brother, sister, mother, daughter, uncle, aunt, grandmother, grandfather, anybody, child, anybody that does not know Jesus, they have no hope. Do y'all understand this? If they died today, where would they go? Where? That's a little strong, isn't it? They go to hell. Somebody says, "I don't believe in hell." It don't make any difference whether you believe in it or not. It's still a real place. Is that right? Yeah, it's a real place. And like I said, since we've got our books together back there about how to get a lost person saved, and we have a CD and a DVD on how to get a lost person saved, if you have anybody in your life that's not saved, you get a copy of the book, you get a copy of the CD, and a copy of the DVD, and you watch those over and over until you get the revelation on how to do that. And then in that book, the prayer is even printed out. You can read it. In fact, I had a lady call me one day and says, "Pastor, I got to tell you what just happened." She said, that's before I had the little book with a prayer in it. She said, "I was listening to your CD on how to get a lost person saved. And while I'm working, I'm typing the prayer out." And said, a friend of mine called me and said, a friend of hers in Lubbock, said she just don't want nothing to do with Jesus. So, but she said she's a good friend of my friend out there in Lubbock, and said she has tried and tried and tried to get this girl to come to Jesus, and she was not interested. And she said, "I don't understand why that when I tell her about heaven and how beautiful it is, and all you got to do is just accept Jesus, and she don't want nothing to do with it. I can't understand why she won't do that." But she said, she's talking to her friend that's typed this out. She said, "I just typed out this prayer that Pastor Thurman put together, how to get a lost person saved. It's got blanks in it to put their name. Give me her name and I'll put her name in there and we'll read this prayer out loud." So they read the prayer with her name in it and said, "Thank you, Lord, for saving," whatever the girl's name was. "It's done in Jesus' name." The girl hung up the phone. 15 minutes later, the girl called back and said, right after I hung up the phone, my friend in Lubbock called me and asked me how to get her saved. I got her. That's how quick it can happen. It's amazing. She changed that girl's life forever. Now, I've told y'all about many young people that have come here, that little 10, 12-year-old boys or girls or whatever, and I'll be down right in front of them, and I'll be talking to them about Jesus and tell them, would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? And they say, no, I'm not interested. You know, that don't make no sense until you understand that if they're lost, the God of this world has blinded their eyes to the truth. That's Scripture. And that you have been given all power and authority, and the devil has to be subject to you. When you get all them Scriptures into your heart, you will catch yourself up into the throne of grace. You will rebuke that devil. You'll get him to leave that child or person, whoever it is. And then you'll ask the Lord to send the Holy Spirit to convict that person of sin and draw them into the kingdom of God and gloriously save them and fill them with the Holy Spirit. When you learn, you have that kind of power, and that God will hear your prayer every time. When you do that, it will be no problem for you to take a little child, which I've done many times, or a babies almost. I mean, it's amazing how that you, people that's old enough to think, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, that you tell them about Jesus and how good he is and that there's a wonderful place of heaven, and they say, no, I'm not interested. Well, you think, well, they're not old enough to understand. But then when you go to a 15 or 20-year-old, they're old enough to understand, because if I walked up to you, right now and said, ma'am, you and your husband, here, let me get my checkbook out of here. I'm going to write y'all a check for $5,000 for cash. I bought y'all both an airplane ticket to go to Hawaii, and the hotel bill's paid for. Here, all you got to do is take this and go. What would you do? If you have to think about that, you know what most people would do? What would most people do? Oh, of course we would take it. I mean, you know, somebody offered me $5,000 cash. Yeah, see, but if you knew me and you really thought that I was really going to give you $5,000 cash, and I had 2 airplane tickets and had the hotel reservations and everything for 2 weeks in Hawaii with spending money, Andy, if I hand that to you, would you take it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure he would. Yeah, see, most people would, you know, but just like she said, if I got to think about this, I'm not too sure. This got to be something tied. You got to. Got to be something here behind this, right? It's too good to be true, right?
Correct.
And see, you know, that's where most of us come from. Because when somebody tries to do something, it is too good to be true. And so there's got to be something tied to this. They want something for me or whatever, or they want to get me out of town so I can break into their house and rob them or something. But they can't believe this can be true. But if that was true, and if I start to give you salvation from Jesus Christ, does that far exceed me giving you $5,000 in cash? Oh, my goodness. There ain't no comparison to what you get. And just think, the average person, when you tell them about Jesus and say, all you got to do is accept Jesus, and they say, no, I'm not interested, you got to realize there's something that's blinding their mind to that, or they would say yes. And so when you get into the Scripture, you find out what's blinding their mind. It's the devil. God sent the devil to steal, kill, and destroy. And the beast is really good. And he does a good job of blinding our mind. And if we don't learn, we have power over him. We can kick him out. We can go to the throne of grace. We can do what that prayer says. When we do that, just like that girl did, she put that girl's name in there and read that prayer one time. It's just a one-page prayer. And she read that down one time and thanked the Lord for saving that girl and hung up the phone. And in 15 minutes, that girl had called her friend and got saved on the phone. Now, what happened? Something in the spirit world happened, didn't it? And that's where the battle's at, that we're fighting, in the spirit world. The enemy is what does these things to us. We have all power over him, and we have to command him to leave. Some of you may have not heard this story I told when I was on Daystar. Years ago, I was on Daystar on the prayer lines. And one night, one Friday night, a guy called in once our show went on the air. And he said, I need prayer. I said, what for? He said, for my wife. He said, my ex-wife. He said, my wife left me and went to work in a strip club as a strip dancer. I said, well, she's not saved. He said, no, she's not saved. But he says, I want you to pray for her to come home. I said, okay. He said, she left me and the children, and divorce me. I said, okay. So, man, I went to the throne of grace, and I quoted all these scriptures, and I kicked the devil out of her and asked the Lord to take the blinders off her eyes that the devil had put on her eyes. I asked the Lord to do all those things I had learned. And then I said, now, Lord, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit to convict this girl of sin, bring her back into the kingdom of God, gloriously save her. I said, if her husband, ex-husband here can be the man that can lead her to Christ, let it be him. But I said, if he's not the right laborer, then you bring forth the right laborer, because you told me to pray to ask the Father to send laborers into the harvest. Is that right? So I said, do that. And I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, son, call me with your praise report. And so I hung up the phone. The next Friday night when I come on the line, he called. I happened to get his same guy. And he said, I need to talk to Thurman Scrivener. I said, well, sir, I'm him. And he said, well, I'm so-and-so. I said, okay, how can I pray for you? He said, you don't remember me. I said, no, sir, son, I pray for lots of people on these prayer lines, so I don't even try to remember them all. He said, I'm the guy that called last Friday night that had the wife who was a strip dancer. I said, okay, I remember that because I don't have very many of them. Yeah, that's for sure. So I said, okay, I said, what happened? He said, sir, within an hour after you hung up that phone, my ex-wife called me and said it's like scales fell off of her eyes. And she couldn't believe she was stripping in a strip club. And so she went and turned in her uniform. She called me and asked me to come down to the club and pick her up. I did, brought her home. He said, I led her to Jesus that night. Next morning, we went and got a marriage permit. And said, 3 days later, we got married. And he said, things have been really good in our house ever since that day. I said, well, how long had she been gone? 14 years. When he told me that, when he said 14 years, I said, son, I'm glad you didn't tell me that. I couldn't have had faith for 14 years. But see, if you don't know, it makes all the difference in the world. I'm going to tell you a fact. If he'd have told me, said, my wife left me 14 years ago, you know what I'd have told him? Just get you another one. It'd be easier to get another one. I'm serious. You know, I'm still just a human being, am I not? So it's a whole lot easier to go out and find you another one than try to bring one home. It's a strip dancer who's been gone for 14 years. But anyway, I didn't know that. And so I prayed. And of course, the Lord did bring that girl home. They did get saved. And for the next couple of years, I mean, regularly, they used to come out and take me to dinner and all kinds of things. And they were just madly in love with each other. And I just thought, wow, what can we do once we learn who we are in Christ? That's right. All things. There's no... God didn't give us no limitations, did he, brother? I mean, if we read that book, he says, anything you ask for, I'll do it for you. Will I not? He said that over and over and over, didn't he? So what's wrong with us? We don't believe. Yeah, we need to change. We need to believe this book means what it says. It says, we don't should be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, anybody that does not believe in Jesus has no hope, and you as a Christian have the power within you to pray for that person to get that person saved. You can bring those people into the kingdom, and I went to all the trouble over all the years to put that book together and to make those CDs and DVDs, so you got the prayer and all the scriptures and everything. I've done all the legwork so you can do it easy and not have to do anything except read and pray, and God will answer your prayer. But I'm glad I did it. Oh, I'm so glad I did. I've seen so many people gloriously saved using these principles. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now this time I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you in this room believe that Jesus died and rose again for you? Okay, praise God. I think that's all of us. I think that's everybody. Wow. If there's anybody in here that could not raise their hand there before you get away today, I want you to come to one of the prayer warriors and ask them how to get saved, because you need to know how to become a Christian. Wow. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus... Okay, we already read that. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, I don't know how far off this event is, but you know it could happen today. Is that true? You know, how could it happen today for some of us and not happen for the rest of us? What if it was just one person today out of this whole bunch, just one of us that died today? Where would we go? We would go to heaven to be with the Lord. So if you happen to be the one that got called home today, you would get a pre-trib rapture, right? Because the tribulation hasn't come yet, has it, Betty? But if it happened to be your day or my day or Bill's day or who's any day, we don't know when that day is, do we? But we know it's a whole lot closer than it was when we first started this walk, don't we, Bill? But aren't we glad we got hope? Oh, my goodness, to think that the day we close our eyes in death, we're going to be in the hands of the Master. Oh, my goodness, is that going to be awesome or is that going to be awesome? And then every time I get to see one of these testimonies about one of these guys that died and went to heaven, none of them want to come back unless they died and went to hell. Then they died and went to hell, they can't wait to get back. But those that died and went to heaven, they don't want to come back this place. Forget that place. Forget it. I don't want back down there no more. In fact, that guy the other day I was listening to, that he had died and he'd been dead an hour and 45 minutes. And he said the thing that amazed him was the smell of heaven. He said everything is alive in heaven. No such thing as death. He said you don't realize the putrid smells that's on earth because everything on earth is in the process of dying. And it is, isn't it, Jack? Everything, trees, people, it don't matter what it is, everything is in the process of dying on this earth. Everything. But he said, in heaven, nothing dies. Nothing. Everything's alive. And he said, the smells are out of this world. Beautiful. So he said, when the Lord told me I got to come back, he said, no, Lord, no, I don't want to go back. But he had to come back. And he was dead an hour and 45 minutes. And so, wow. But he didn't want to come back. Oh, my goodness. Not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Just think. I would like to believe if that event happened today, and it could happen any second. I would like to believe if that event happened today that there would be absolutely not one person, not even a child left in this building. We would all be in heaven with the Lord. Isn't that your desire? I know that's where I want to be. If the rapture comes, I don't want to be the only one left standing here. That's for sure. Now, we watched one of those Left Behind videos here a while back, and there was a pastor, and he was the only one left. Did you see that video? Yeah. He was the only one left, and he was fussing at himself, said, God, I can't believe I preached this to all these people. They believed in it. I didn't. Now, that's sad, isn't it? He didn't live it. He didn't believe it. He preached it, but he didn't believe it. But the people he preached to did. And so when the rapture comes, his church got cleaned out. Everybody was gone. Everybody but him. He's standing there all by himself. I thought, wow, I hope that don't happen to... I wouldn't want it to happen to no church, but it could. So verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Even so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, is that going to be an awesome day? Yeah, when we all go home to be with Jesus, we all get caught up. Just think. If today this happened, and we're gone, I would be looking out here at all of y'all, and 1 second, every one of you would be in heaven with the Lord, just that quick. Is that right, Betty?
Yep.
And we would land up there in that wonderful place. We'd just been translated from earth to heaven, and all of a sudden, we see everybody. All of our families and everything, everybody we've ever known, aunts, uncles, cousins, we know everybody. You'll even see Paul. I bet Paul's up there preaching the gospel right now to those new converts that come up there on a regular basis that don't know the word. I bet he's preaching all the time, don't you, Jack? In fact, God may be taking his men that really have studied and knows his word, and he may be using them to train the ones that get there that know so little. Because just think, I mean, how about the thief on the cross? He didn't know nothing about the kingdom, did he? Nothing, but the Lord says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so he's going to have to learn something about the Word of God. Somebody's going to have to teach him, and that men that know the Word are like Paul. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Is it comforting to know that if the Lord come today, that all of us that believe would go to heaven? It's comforting to me. I have no problem. I mean, if the Lord come gets all of us, I don't have a problem with that. Do you? Yeah, not at all. I mean, I don't have a problem if he comes and takes me. Cheryl might have a problem with that. You know, she might want me to stay around to make her a living. You know, so I don't know. I think she would, though. I don't think she's ready to get rid of me yet. Oh, my goodness.
I thought we were going together.
Yeah, we are. We are, absolutely. We're going together.
I thought that was the plan.
That is the plan. We're all going together. Just think, this catching away of the church could be right at the door. Could it not? It could be. Of course, Paul, 2,000 years ago when he wrote this, he thought it was going to happen in a few days or a few weeks. And 2,000 years have come and went, and it still hasn't happened. But all the people that believe what he said, that were believers, all those people that believe that have died, they got a pre-trib rapture. Like I said here a while back, when I was watching before Paul Crouch went home to be with Jesus, he had three men on his show that believed in different times, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And after he listened to them, and I listened to them too on his show, he went away and prayed and said, Lord, I've got to really have the right answer to tell the people so we're not wrong. What do I tell them? He said, the Lord spoke to me just as clear and said, tell them just to be ready. I'm coming. Be ready. Is he coming? Yes, he's coming. Does he want us to know the very second? No. He just wants us to know, be ready and stay ready because I am coming. Now then, could that be today? Sure, it could be. Could it be tomorrow? Yeah. Could it be next summer? Sure, it could be any time. And for some of us, it could be any time. There's no guarantee that this same group is going to all be here next year. Some of us may not be here. But those of us that are not here, where do we want us to be? In heaven with the Lord. That's exactly right. Because, you know, I mean, I think about that pastor down there in the Bahamas. I think I told you all about that last week. You know, that they were going to a meeting. Miles Monroe. Yeah. Great man of God. Absolutely. I've watched him. He's 60 years old. He's just a great teacher of God's Word, especially the kingdom. That was his specialty, to teach the principles of the kingdom. And they were coming in a Learjet 35 with nine people in it, counting the crew, counting the two pilots, nine total people. And they got too low out there over the bay and ran into a construction crane in the bay. With that jet, you know, here they are doing 150, 160 knots and run into that crane. Blew that airplane all to pieces and all nine of them were killed. But he was a great man of God. His wife was a great woman of God. His daughter was a great woman of God. And all the members of the team that was with him, I assume if they're with Miles Monroe, you would think they would be a great man because he was a great teacher of God's Word. As far as I'm concerned, there was nine people right there that was in heaven, just like that. So do we know that might happen to one of us this week, right? We don't know that, do we? No, we don't know that. You know, God doesn't share those things with us. But just like he said, we know that day's coming, so be ready. If that day does happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, be ready because he is coming for us. Is that right? Father, I praise you and thank you for the rapture that's coming. I praise you and thank you for your instruction manual that you show us what to do and how to do it, how to walk holy in your presence. Lord, you're such a mighty God, a King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, you're our Lord. You're our God. You've given us this power and authority. Now, Lord, may your Holy Spirit touch our hearts. And as we go forth this week, may we go about your business to do great things for the kingdom of God. May we be led by the Spirit of God. May the Spirit of God continuously tell us and show us what to do and how to do it. And may we yield to the Holy Spirit so that we can be about your business and we can see you do great and wonderful things in the future. Lord, I thank you for your word and for having this word and for having the Holy Spirit to interpret this word to us. And I thank you for all the miracles and healings and salvations and everything else you will do this week as this group of people prays and touches people in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we be about your business, and we thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.